just like the sacrifices that were given in Israel, they were for a purpose and they were for a person. Well, so is the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's for a purpose and it's for a person. So we know Cain was not saved. The testimony of Cain in the scriptures is that he didn't believe the Lord. We know that those that were left there in Noah's day, outside of the ark, they died in unbelief, and they were not saved. So when we consider again in the New Testament scriptures where it says that Jesus is the Savior of the world, well, we understand and come to understand that when you take a look at the list of saviors in the world, that this is how what the Lord helped me to see and understand. When you got the list of doctors in the world, you got a lot of doctors, don't you? When you got a list of athletes, the list of athletes in the world, I'm not on the list. Right? You see what I'm saying? When you've got a list of presidents in the world, you've got quite a list, don't you? It goes on. I mean, there's been many, many presidents or kings or the list of queens of the earth. You got a list there. But when you got the list of Savior, there's only one on the list. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so indeed, the Lord Jesus is the Savior of the world. There is no other Savior. He is the only Savior. Well, let's take a look here at John chapter 12. We'll pick it up in verse number 27. And this thought is in theme with that very thing that I described there. The Lord Jesus is here very near going to the cross of Calvary. There are some Greeks that come and they want to have audience with the Lord, and they speak to Philip. Philip speaks to Andrew, or vice versa. They tell Jesus, Philip and Andrew, and then both of them to Jesus. And Jesus begins to answer. It says right there in verse 23 that he answers them, the inquiry of these Greeks wanting to speak to Jesus. And the answer doesn't seem to jibe with what they have requested. But the thing is, the Lord Jesus is focused upon him going to Calvary. That's what his focus and his veracity is all. He is dedicated to that and focused upon that. We pick it up here in what the Lord says in verse 27. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said, it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. That is Satan, the prince in the power of the air. Verse 32. This is our focus and the thought that we get for this message. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me. You ever read that before? I'm sure you have. I trust that you have. And Jesus says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me. Now, men is in italics there that we might understand for clarity. The translators added that. I don't think that we need that to really understand, because when we say all, what's that mean? It means all. It means from Adam to the last person born. So how do you reconcile that? Again, my thinking, in the vein and the way that my mind works, is that this is speaking towards the positive, that the Lord will draw all unto him, in salvation. But we know very well that Pharaoh wasn't saved. Was Pharaoh saved? No, there's no testimony of Pharaoh being saved. And so, in the sense of salvation, was Pharaoh drawn? Was Esau drawn to the Lord, to the Lord Jesus? There's no testimony of Esau, or certainly his posterity being saved. You see what I'm saying? Judas. Didn't Judas live? Was Judas drawn to the Lord? No, Judas was a faker. He feigned being saved. He was baptized by John the Baptist. And don't get tore up about the Lord Jesus choosing him as an apostle, because that was all the foreordained plan and purpose and will and work of God. So how is this? If I be lifted up from the earth, that's speaking of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, him being nailed to the tree, will draw all unto me. How do we reconcile this? Well, Jesus will draw every person unto him. He will. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. We read a portion of Scripture over here that'll help us in this consideration. In Philippians chapter 2, the apostle writing to the church at Philippi, he declares here in verse number 5 of this chapter, Philippians 2, verse number 5, "Let this mind be in you, children of God," there in the church at Philippi, "which was also in Christ Jesus." His mind, let that his mind be in us, okay? "Who being in the form of God," the Son, "thought it not robbery to be equal with God." That was his place. The Son of God, there with the Father, the Holy Spirit of God, our triune God, one, yet three persons. "He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Verse 8. "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross," the terrible death of the cross. He humbled himself that much to be obedient to that, to the will of the Father. "Having done so, wherefore," verse number 9, "because of that, God also hath highly exalted him." So because Jesus was willing to become a man, was willing to humble himself unto death, was willing to humble himself even unto the death of the cross, which God Almighty had said in the Scriptures, "Cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree." Even that death. God, because of that, he being willing and accomplishing those things, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Verse 10, "that at the name of Jesus, every knee." Now, I used to think about that as like one of your two knees. But it says every knee. And so I'm of opinion both knees. Okay, that's just the wanderings of my mind. "But at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and of things in earth, and things under the earth." Verse 11. "And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So here in this passage we see, because Jesus is the Savior and has obeyed the Father to accomplish all things, to be the Savior of the world, he's been exalted by God, and every knee, mine and yours and everybody else's, is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So because of this, it will be indeed that Jesus will draw every person unto himself. John 5. Let's take a look at it. Here it is. Lord Jesus, in the day of his ministry, he's going about preaching, working miracles. The people in general gladly receive him. The disciples of John the Baptist receive the Lord Jesus Christ. The people, the publicans and the sinners, they rejoice at what he preaches and what he tells about the glorious work and salvation of the Lord. They receive the Lord, and they believe and rest in him. The Jews, the religious leadership of the day, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, the lawyers, the scribes, they all hate the Lord Jesus. They see him as a threat. The testimony near the crucifixion of our Lord is that if we don't do something about this fella, the Romans are going to come and take our place and take our nation from us and take our place away from us, and our world's going to get turned upside down if we don't do something about this man. He is turning the people away from us. And so in this, the Lord being greatly received and the Lord being greatly rejected, he preaches and teaches these words. In John chapter 5, there's been a man healed once again on the Sabbath day. And they're quarreling with the Lord about that. The Lord says simply to him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And he does. And it was the Sabbath day again there at the end of verse number 9. And so they're all stirred up and vehement. And he finds this fellow in the temple. And he says to him, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." And the man goes, because they had inquired with the man who it was that healed him, and the man didn't know. And so we see in verse number 18, we pick up this that Jesus declares. "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him," Jesus, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now that's a cultural thing that's kind of hard. We don't get that exactly, but I think it has to do with the oldest son being the heir of the father. And from the standpoint of any status or position, the oldest son is as the same as the father coming into that station and that place and that family. And so having declared that God Almighty is his father in a very personal way, they took that he made himself equal with God. And of course he is. Now the Jehovah's Witness don't like to say that he is and believe that he is, but he is. Jesus Christ is one of the Trinity and is God himself, along with the Father and along with the Holy Spirit. "Then answered Jesus," verse 19, "and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you," truly, truly, it's very, very important information. When you see verily, verily, it's information for you and me. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, what the Father does, these also doeth the Son likewise." So Jesus is no freelancer. Are you a freelancer? Don't be a freelancer. Jesus is not a freelancer. Jesus is not a freelancer. He came and did what the Lord told him to do, and we need to do what Jesus tells us to do. He's no freelancer. See that humility of the Lord Jesus Christ in his flesh? He's submissive unto the Father in everything. The example for you and me. Verse 20. So he does what he sees the Father do. Verse 20, "For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, And this is talking about the Lord speaking about him and his humanity. As a man, the Father is revealing to the Lord Jesus, and it's hard for us to get that, but that's what I believe he's indicating there. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. So greater than him healing a man that has been lame for a large part of his life. He's going to do greater works, like raising people from the dead, like raising himself from the dead. And there'll be a marveling there. For as the Father raises up the dead, he gets right to it, doesn't he? And quickeneth, makes alive, that's what that word quickeneth means, them. Even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. The Father makes anybody he wants to alive. And so does the Lord Jesus Christ, the man, the God-man. Okay? We need him, don't we? Amen. But you know what? We don't make anybody alive. And we sure don't make ourselves alive. We need our Lord. Okay? For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. You know why all judgment has been committed to the Son? Because the Son, in this context, in John chapter 5, is going to be the Savior. He's going to fulfill the will of the Father. And as we read over there in Philippians, now after the fact of him completing his gospel, he's sitting on the right hand of the Father, waiting for all of his enemies to be made his footstool. Because every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. See, these Jews that he's speaking to here, and as it is in the world, they got a real hard time with honoring this man that stands before them. This man from Galilee. This man grown up in Nazareth, this man that is of no reputation, no known lineage, raised up in poverty and obscurity, they have no honor or respect for him. So he's to be honored, all right, because he has all power, as he declares in Matthew 28. He said, the judgment has been committed unto the Son, that all should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Now, the Jews were real good about honoring Jehovah God, they thought in their minds. But they gave no honor to Jesus. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. So the Father sent the Son. It is the Father's work to send the Son. It is the Lord Jesus' work to be sent. And if you don't honor, if you and I and folks don't honor the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not honoring the Father either. And he's making that point with those Jews. That they have a real hard time honoring him, and they claim that they honor the Father, but by not honoring him, they're not honoring the Father. So judgment is the Lord's. Verily, verily, I say unto you, very, very important information, you can't do without it. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath, present tense, everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Do you honor the Lord enough to believe that? To receive that? To hold that to you and your life and your soul, to know that that's true? That's what Jesus has said. That's what Jesus has declared. It's very, very important. You can't do without it. You hear his word. You believe on the Father that sent him. You have everlasting life. You won't come into condemnation, but you've passed from death into life. Jesus came to be the Savior. Verily, verily, again, verse 25, very, very important information. You and I cannot do without it. I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. We saw that earlier, right? He quickeneth whomsoever he will. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. So here the Lord Jesus tells about those that do hear. Verse 24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, verse 25, I say unto you, the hour is coming, rather in fact, it now is, when the dead, is he talking about people that are laying out in the grave? No, he's talking about people that are very much alive physically, but are very much dead spiritually. And when they hear Jesus, they indeed will be made alive. And what's he say? If the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Do you hear the voice of the Son of God and his word and what he's declared? And they that hear shall live. What will they hear? Verse 24, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That he's the Savior. We know from other passages in the Scriptures that the command to sinners is to repent and believe the gospel. Repent of your sins and believe the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. He says, even the dead spiritually, they hear the voice of the Son of God, they that hear shall live. Because remember, like the Father has life, so the Son has life. And he's the one that saves. He's the Savior. And he begins to segue into the next subject. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. So here we have a little bit more clarity, because he's the Son of Man. Because he identifies with mankind. Because he, through his mother, is connected to us indeed. He is a man. He's qualified, being the Savior and the one sent by God, being God himself, but yet being a man, the Son of God and the Son of Man, he is the perfect one to be the judge. And he is ordered the judge by the Father. Read it. And have given him authority to execute judgment, verse 27, because he is the Son of Man. No person is going to be judged by an angel. Everyone we're going to see is going to be judged by a man that's qualified to be the judge. That is God. He is God also. Man will be judged by God, but man will be judged by a man, the man, that second Adam. Jesus will draw every person into himself. Marvel not at this, verse number 28, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. So the Lord Jesus talks about how it is here on the earth that those that hear his voice will live. Talking about salvation of the soul. But there's coming a time when there will be that all will hear his voice. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good under the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil under the resurrection of damnation. Now, does that leave anybody out? And how was it that we got to this place, this understanding that Jesus Christ will be the one that will call all of mankind out of their grave into judgment? Those that have done good. It's not talking about self-righteousness of man. But those that have obeyed the gospel, it's another way of saying it, that the scripture says it. Those that have believed the Lord and what he has said that they have heard in this life and the time of their life, that they honor the Lord Jesus to believe what he says is true without gainsaying, without doubting, without rejection, and without desire to follow after the flesh and the way of man in the world. Yes, Lord, what you say is true, and you and that are exactly what I need. Because he is the Savior, he is and is the Son of Man in that, he is the Judge. And all those that are in the graves will hear his voice. They will come forth, they that have done good, the righteous, the saved, the redeemed, under the resurrection of life. And what, how will it be? One by one will stand before our Lord Jesus. It won't be, I think there may be, it could be that we have accountability as a church, but the Lord will be able to take care of all that as he deals with us and judges his saints individually. He'll take care of all the church stuff together too. And our part in it, or lack of part in it, whatever the case may be. And you know what? And he'll be able to, well, how in the world can the Lord take care of a church that did something 20 years ago and the people that were, the Lord doesn't have any problem. He doesn't have any problem. And you know what? Each and every one of us that are saved will stand before the Lord and give account of how we served our Lord and obeyed our Lord from the time he saved us to the time he took us out of here. If I be lifted up, I will draw all unto myself. It's true for the saved, isn't it? Indeed, he called and we heard. And he moved with his spirit and we were brought unto him. He drew us unto himself, didn't he? In salvation and in death and in the life and judgment to come and those things, he will call and we will come, won't he? Won't we? Indeed, every person. Listen to what else it says. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil. It's not talking about sinners. Because you know what? In that first group are some sinners. And they're saved sinners. But they that have done evil is talking about those that are the unrepentant, the rejectors of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ones that will not honor the Lord and what he has spoken in his word, will not receive it, will not submit to it, will have nothing to do with it. And you know what? He said, the hour is coming which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. He will call for them. And they will be called unto the resurrection of damnation. We see that in the book of Revelation, don't we? In chapter 20. And you know what? Every single person. See, there won't be a couple people over here in the corner somewhere around the corner over here that get forgot about. Every single soul. Hard for you and I to really fathom that, isn't it? As many, what 7 billion people in the world right now? Is it 5 or 7? I can't keep track. Better than 330 million people. Can you imagine that in the United States? Not one person of all of time will not be drawn into the Lord at his voice to be brought up for judgment. Where will you be? How will you stand? Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. The Lord Jesus' judgment comes from the Father. His, if you will, instruction as a man for judgment, being the Son of Man, comes from the Father. And that's how he will judge. And my judgment is just. See, as he speaks to these Jews, they can understand that he's going to judge according to what the Father that they claim says. That this isn't a new thing. That he's not coming up with a quote-unquote, new set of rules or a new way, but Jesus has been sent from the God that they claim, they say they claim, but Jesus tells them, because you don't know me, you really don't know him either. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Don't have to worry about it being twisted, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Jesus will draw every person unto himself. How about you? We read it there in John 12:32. And I, if I be lifted up, if I be lifted up, there's no more if there, is there? He's been lifted up. He will draw all unto himself. How will it be with you? You hear the voice of the Lord. You hear this coming judgment, this condemnation upon sinners that are without Christ. Oh, repent of your sins and believe and trust and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, him and his salvation for your soul, for the forgiveness of your sins.